Hello, everyone, again. This is Luca Mino, and we are back for another episode of Learn to Unlearn, except I won't go be singing because I'm not a very good singer to begin with. I'm just in a very good mood, and I'm happy to be back. This is what I love about an hour, or I'd say maybe an hour and a half before the show. I'll miss you guys, and I'll get on, and I'll start the chat. I'm the first one here because I usually am, right? And it's nice. And then you sit back and it's like I'm trying to make it more a point to come and talk to everybody before because I can. A lot of people can't. Most people can't, I guess. But everybody's got their own thing, right? See, and this is the thing. Everybody's got their own thing. This is what we're going to talk about first. Before anything happens, you have to say hello to everybody in the chat and thank Annie for the network that we're on that can be, you know, we can talk about anything at any time from any direction. And it's really good to be back. Steve is the world super producer, I believe. So we have to say hello to him, too, because he's the one who pushes the buttons. And then a few minutes before the show, him and his heavy voice, he says, Luca. And I'm like, did you start your timer? Do you have your timer? And I'm like, oh, there's a good producer. Thank you for reminding me, Steve. And I do indeed. How are you today?
Okay. I also told you to put your song on. You forgot your water, but then.
Oh yeah, I forgot my water. Right,
and you know, and you was going to step out of your chair before I even took the stream.
Yeah, I'm so relaxed, and I'm learning how to be so relaxed on the show with everyone here that I'm not even worried about playing the song, starting the song, running to the refrigerator to grab my water and come back. And I got to say this before I forget. There's something about that guitar sound in Father Forgive Them. And I started to think because the one time that I told Annie about that song, and I said, I got to have that for an intro song to my show. It's because I'm walking by the computer and I'm hearing that guitar sound and I'm going, Luca, you're a drummer and a bass player. Why are you focusing so much on the, and there was something about that guitar sound. And I found out what it was. And I'll even play a part of the song for you next show because I didn't prepare it. But at one point, they like the guitar sound so loud. And yes, there are amplifiers that go up to 11. Okay. And that was a joke in a movie. You know, my amplifier goes up to 11. Right. Well, this one had an 11 on purpose, a Marshall. It wasn't the Marshall stack, but it was the top of the stack. So what they do is they put the microphone in there. It's a $3,000 microphone, I think it was, something like that. And they cover the speaker enclave, right? Because it was so loud, the speaker casing. Oh, my God. And we got the sound that we wanted. Same thing as me playing drums. They were trying to have me, you know, don't play too loud, don't play. No, quite the opposite. Play as loud as you feel it and as strong as you feel it. And that's why Andy and I like that song by Sass Jordan so much. Because if you listen to Sass Jordan, that's what his drummer was recorded just going nuts. Like the arms are above your head and you're playing outright the way you feel. And that's what gets recorded. And it sounds loud. And that's what they like. Or you can go very softly, like with brushes, right? So this is the idea. Like we're all different. You know, Steve is different than I am. Annie's different than Melissa. Melissa's different than Boston Mark. And, you know, everybody's different and everybody's shining on a certain frequency. And we get together in shows like this, right? Well, I don't want to start with war in particular. I wanted to start by reading. It's in prayer mode again. And it's something a friend of mine, Richard Doiron, wrote. And if you want to say it properly, it's Richard Doiron from New Brunswick, where I used to live. And we've known each other going on 15, 20 years. He's gotten, you know, Poet Laureate of the Year awards, international awards for poetry. And he wrote this one called Ghost Dancers. And, you know, most people have seen the Northern Lights. Some people haven't. And If the writing's too long, I'll probably cut it into two, but I don't think it will be once I start reading it, because it's difficult for me to read to begin with, but this is like poetry, so please bear with me. It's about the Northern Lights, and in his heart, I do believe that Richard wrote this with the children of the residential schools that died, that were from the North. They never got to see them. I'm going to read this now. For over 60 years now, in the flesh, I have seen the Northern Lights. When nature had decreed it my turn to behold the wonder. How remarkable to watch the colors dancing. Some bear the name of marionette, suggesting someone or something holding up some kind of puppet dancers in that portion of the sky. But in retrospect, I have to wonder why has it been that I've gotten to see the dancing when so many from the very north itself, not only did they not get to see the lights, but the lights went out on them as they did. Oh, yes, the children who otherwise should have been called children of the light. So many of them. Many never managed to stay around long enough for the experience. Some never as much as getting to hear about the phenomenon. For them, I weep, yes, today more so than ever. Not so much because of their passing, but because I am left to picture them as being the dancers, the very lights that dance in the frigid, with the frigid cold takes hold, and I see that as defiance too. Oh yes, position taken by the dead, as only the dead could ever do. For this, I weep even more. They were to be the rightful heirs of the land, the sacred land, the places where the buffalo once rampantly roamed, where the frozen tundra met up with the sea, where the waves were not a wave goodbye, but an invitation to life. For the most part, I will never know their names, but in so many ways, that is not by chance, but about concerted effort to keep them hidden, locked away in their graves, so many without as much as a marker to make their spot known. Genocide is like that. So for me, if I fail to see them dancing in the lights, they will still be there, all of them. And I want dearly to see them too. See, so he finishes. I'm sorry if I can't read very well, but it's very difficult for me to read to begin with. And this is poetry, right? And he's one of the best poets on the face of the planet right now. He finishes this way. And I will, else I will stop looking for the colors that dance. See what I mean? He's using Old English. Let me say that again. It's good practice. And I will, else I will stop looking for the colors that dance. But with great powwow in the sky, when it calls to me, I am swept up to the dance. I dance myself to tears for the spirit that overtakes me. And not only because I like to see the tears frozen on the ground. He's very poetic and he's very deep. I managed to read it. Okay. It means a lot to me because I lived up north and I saw firsthand what he talks about. And it's beautiful to have the imagery of them dancing. And you see that in the poem. When you read it, perhaps it's, but I got through it and I'm glad I read it because that's good practice. And here comes another one. This is even more difficult. We're going to Rome after this. You know why? Let me just make a caveat on it first because I really want to emphasize the fact that there are protectors of the earth. Before there were the giants of the Ohio River Valley. They called them the Red Giants. We can't say that they weren't because we have ample proof of it. Nobody likes to talk about that, and most people are called conspiracy theorists. But we have had people or entities that are there to protect the earth from people that will abuse it. So, you know, there's Mark 8, verse 36, that I love talking about. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul, right? Well, here's one from the Romans that we're conquering. And I've never seen such in-your-face proof of this before. Steve, you might not have heard of this, but I'm going to have the picture on the screen very soon, as soon as I finish reading what I prepared here. So basically, Rome couldn't really manage Germania, as we know, the Germanic tribes. But they came up to the Caledonian Forest in 120 AD. And I told you the story about Geronimo on this continent. Remember I told you the story about Geronimo and, you know, do you know your scriptures, sir? You know, and that lieutenant telling his superior officer those words because he was lying and cheating in order to trap Geronimo. This is sort of the same thing. The Caledonia Forest, 120 AD, okay, written by Titus Ursus, Primus Pilus of Legio 9, Hispana, in the third year of Hadrian's reign. I believe you can even find this historically. 120 AD, this is probably the last papyrus, and entry in my diary. Our legion was ambushed in the wild realm called Caledonian Forest and was almost completely annihilated. Half of my first cohort is all that's left of the nine legio. We were pushed into the marsh and we will probably die here, fighting bravely to the end in the name of Rome and the emperor. We were attacked by a pack of demonic, what he calls Picts, P-I-C-T-S. We were attacked by a demonic pack of barbaric Picts. They looked more like wild beasts than humans. Some of them were dressed in animal furs painted with strange runic signs. Others seemed to be two-legged wild beasts. They tore us apart as if we were made of paper. I saw our legatus and my brothers in arms being eaten alive, and I'll never forget their screams. The barbarians attacked unnoticed, quickly and with wild fury, and then disappeared into the fog, mainly at night. Our shields, our swords, and our armor were of no use here. The enemy we face seems to be the ancient wrath of some dark gods that we have awakened. We should never have invaded these lands. I hear demonic howls. They're coming. They're coming. And that's the end of it. Scrap of papyrus written by centurion Titus Ursus, found in October 120 AD in the Caledonian Forest, taken to Rome, where it was presented to the emperor and burned. 2 years later, Emperor Hadrian ordered the construction of a wall on the border of the land called Caledonia in northern Britannia, which is in Scotland. That's where it is. Fascinating story. Say, oh, maybe we shouldn't have come here. Huh? Right? That was one of the that phrase right there is why I wanted to share it. We should never invade these lands. I hear demonic howls, right? Because what they're doing is demonic. They're destroying, they're killing, they're attacking, they're conquering. And it's very apropos, if I may say. And wow, we see the next thing in war, okay? Because this here, you know, have you ever said to yourself, well, wouldn't it be cool to see proof from these dual citizenship people in the Congress pledging allegiance to Israel instead of America and serving Israel's interest and Rothschild central banking interest, except for the instead of the American people? Wouldn't it be cool if you could have one clip less than 2 minutes long that would prove how evil or how demonic they are and how certain people, certain groups of people are worth more than others? Wouldn't that be cool? I think so. Well, you know what? They're becoming so sloppy in their lying. And Steve, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think I am. And their genocides, that people are really starting to open up their eyes. I mean, it's you know, some of the stuff is so blatant, you know, and especially with the memes going around Facebook. Okay. And this one, Steve is looking at it too. And it says, oh, John Steinbeck wrote it. Oh, it must be true. Listen to this one. All war is a symptom of man's failure as a thinking animal. My instinct goes, no, it's not. Absolutely not. And I'm starting to understand. Okay, John Steinbeck. Oh, yeah, you know, like put a name like George Orwell underneath there. Nobody will contest anything, right? This is what they're doing. All war is a symptom of man's failure as a thinking animal. Whoa, no, no, no. Not, you know why? And I'm going to prove it with one clip. And I'm also going to prove it by saying this first. Okay, I've come to loathe these type of memes because they seem straight and honest to the unknowing person, right? Those who don't research. And this sort of nonsense is actually a way to appease most of the populace. Yeah, yeah, yeah. War is obvious. War is, you know, it's unavoidable, you know, right? And I'm going, wow, you know, because the warring factions, they know that, you know, the average General Tom, Dick, and Harry type are completely against war, right? And rightly so. No, I'm not buying it. And what you're going to hear is John Kirby making sure that they have a green light to their atrocities. And they play both sides, right? In this clip, you're going to hear Kirby talk about the Ukraine, and also Palestine. And it's really going to be worthwhile. Let's have a listen. I'm going to turn the volume down first.
Clips from a White House spokesperson. These two clips from a White House spokesperson. The first is from this week.
Being honest about the fact that there have been civilian casualties and that there likely will be more is being honest, because that's what war is. It's brutal, it's ugly, it's messy. I've said that before. The president also said that yesterday. Doesn't mean we have to like it.
That was National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby basically telling journalists to grow up. War is dirty, war is messy, good people die, but that's life. What do you want me to do about it, right? Now compare that to how Kirby talked about civilian deaths in Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
It's hard to look at what he's doing in Ukraine, what his forces are doing in Ukraine, and think that any ethical, moral individual could justify that. It's difficult to look at the It's difficult to look at some of the images and imagine that any well-thinking, serious, mature leader would do that.
So the killing of Ukrainian civilians brings John Kirby to tears. Fine, right? Got no problem with that. But when Palestinians are killed by a U.S. ally, meh, these things happen. People die. It's war.
Right? See what I mean? And if you look at him, you look at Kirby, he's not even crying. You can tell he's trying to make it look like he is, but he's not. Okay? And I'm saying that because that's what I feel to be the truth. And this is what they do. They're playing. They're playing with us. They're going to say whatever they have to say to make it work. Okay? This is all, again, it's all to make sure they have a green light to their atrocities. We do not know what's going on. They work with the media. The media tells us what they want, you know, what they want them to tell us. To me, this clip today is proof, and I'm thanking so many that do the research, like the person that did that, and I'll have to find his name and credit that in my article, too, something I'm going to have to write down right now, actually, credit clip. You know, and they lie, they deceive. You know, apparently the word NASA itself means to deceive in Hebrew, right? You know, you're finding out all these things. Oh, okay. Is that true? Oh, find out. Another rabbit hole. Every single rabbit hole, one after the other. Crocodile tears. Looking at John Kirby, you can tell. It's all staging. Okay. Meanwhile, It's a CIA psyop in Palestine. Actually, Palestine is the proper way to say it in Arabic. Said by the people that are 75 and over, it's pronounced Palestine, the old way of saying it. It's a psyop. One of the Hamas leaders or Hamas whistleblowers came out and said, it's a CIA psyop, what's going on. Indeed, you know, I wasn't even surprised when I heard it. Of course it is. You know, they're all over the place. They're always, always everywhere, all the time. And this is what's so sad. So, you know, it's really good to see because it's in your face. And, you know, I'm compartmentalizing. Again, I have notes all over the desk, right? And I wanted to bring this to everybody's attention because it's really important. I'm going to take a sip and I'll be right back after this little dinghy that I like playing because, you know, it's nice. When I prepare shows, when I edit them, I like having music in there. So I don't want to lose that. And I hope everybody's enjoying the show. I want to take you to the Amazon. This is in a place called Acre in Brazil, A-C-R-E. It's the southwest corner of Brazil, border with Peru. Okay. A healer, a medicine keeper of her tribe, she's called Hushahu. It's like Hush and then A-H-U afterwards, Hushahu, depending on how you pronounce it, where you're from. And she's got a three-part telling of what is happening to them in the Amazon in her lifetime. And this is something that many people don't talk about. This is, you know, there's deforestation everywhere, okay? Did you know that the Sahara Desert used to be like the Amazon until they started slaughtering trees and slaughtering life? Because that's what happens. The Amazon's going to be exactly like that. Just give it time. Any fool knows you don't cut, a tree off of a mountainside because it's just going to make everything fall. You know, everybody's doing everything they can to destroy everything on earth for a very limited of personal profit. Okay. So I fell on this and I thought it was really important to share because this is you couldn't get more indigenous than this for people that have never seen a plane or a jet fly by. Listen to this. This is the first part. I would have played it for you, but she speaks in half Spanish, half Portuguese, half traditional language. Beautiful language to hear. Before contact happened, we were not afraid of disease or bad energies because Tata tells us that they never had seen a plane pass or the noise. And when they saw it, many of them ran yelling, "What is that?" Now we feel today, these days, each one that passes, the smoke from the oil burnt, you know, all of it falls. She says, rain doesn't fall healthy. We cannot be out in the rain. We cannot shower in it or roll in it or feel it because it brings something damaging for health. So we don't feel safe to sit on the ground like I'm sitting here. Because it's like being polluted. We are surrounded by all kinds of dangers, not just illnesses. And when we sit to make a ceremony, we seek force. These pieces of land, of nature, where we are living now are so small, they have been destroyed. They have life, They bring health. They bring love. They are pure. We seek them to gather strength so we can cast up to the sky and clear those clouds, those black clouds of illness and of suffering for every child, for every woman, for every living being on earth. And she's just talking about planes. So the second one is going to be next week. I thought that was cool. I really do, because that's, you're listening to her say that, and that's not, well, I can't say it's probably translated the best way they could. And it comes right from the YouTube link. So I really believe that it's true, you know. And when we come back after the other end of the break, we're going to talk about women some more and about the sacred feminine and how the indigenous see that. I'm going to start just a little hint here because it's really cute. There's the European talking to, you know, the Indian tribe. The Indian tribe is behind the elder and the elder is in front. And so the person in charge is talking to the elder with everybody in back, right? And he says to him, he says, women have become persons in Canada here. In 1929, we made them persons. We made them persons. And a long silence can be heard. And then he takes the Indian takes the microphone. First thing he says, have you ever looked at the back of a turtle? That's the first thing he said. Have you ever looked at the back of a turtle? And that's what we're going to do when we come back after the break. Because it's signifying the sacredness of Mother Earth. It's signifying, I'm not going to give it away, but it's signifying how they see woman, how they see the life giver. And look at how the church saw women. Look at what they did to her in Europe. Witches? Ah, okay. Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back. But you know what? I can share this. 13 moons and 28 days on all turtle shells. And that equals 364 days plus one of rest. Ancient Scots or Norse or Polynesians and natives of all the entire world knew this wisdom of the turtle and followed a 13-month calendar. After all, there are 13 moon cycles in a year for the woman and 27 to 29 days per cycle. It's almost as if the system subtracted 1 month in order to sever the connection between the people and the sun, the moon, and the stars, which are a giant clock. See, it's almost as if. See, take something sacred, right? This is what they're doing. And this is what almost every single one of my shows has been showing. Either they're instilling fear or they're instilling anxiety or they're, you know, they're trying to find ways to shut us down. And this is just another one of them. Taking away the sacredness of the woman. Oh, yeah, there's Rockefeller, too, talking about voting. Oh, well, you know, he only had half the population, which is men. So we got to do something to get the other half, right? It's all about personal profit at our expense. And I'll never say it enough. We'll be right back so I can wet my whistle. And TLB Talk can ask you once again to come and see us because this is going to be one of the places that are going to be left with no censorship if this keeps up.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
That's right. That's where we need to go, to TLBTalk.com, because that's most of where, you know, most of my stuff exists. More than 5,000 or 6,000 images now, I think. I just took out 8,000 images from my iPhone the other day. That's how much I had in the iPhone itself before I cleared it. We're back with Learn to Unlearn. And before we talk about women, I think, well, you know, I did mention Rockefeller, so maybe we should start there. My name is John D. Rockefeller, and I've shared this before. I just want to show you the damage they've done, okay? I helped start the pharmaceutical industry, worked to outlaw hemp, hijacked the educational system, co-founded the Federal Reserve System with J.P. Morgan and the Rothschild family, funded the United Nations, and helped found the Council of Foreign Relations. You are taught that I'm a hero entrepreneur, but I actually am one of the biggest enemies of the American people. And you know what? I'm going to go to my grave saying that the education system was no different than the residential school like that curriculum, that model. I'm absolutely positive that it came from there, because that's how they see us. The way the nuns or the Catholic priests or the missionaries saw the Indian with the long hair. Oh my God, we got to civilize these you know, bastard children, you know, and put DEET in their hair and cut their hair first thing, because they know how powerful they were. You know what I'm saying? It's all about destroying what works so they can make money on what doesn't. And what doesn't, I mean poison, right? This meme is so clear in explaining that. Now that you heard Rockefeller, listen to the opposite side of the coin. We all start out knowing magic. We are born with whirlwinds, forest fires, and comets inside of us. We're born able to sing to birds and read the clouds and see our destiny in grains of sand. But then we get the magic educated right out of our souls. We get it churched out, spanked out, washed out, and combed out. We get put on the straight and narrow path and told to be responsible, told to act our age, told to grow up, for God's sake. And you know why we're told that? Because the people doing the telling were afraid of our wildness and youth, and because the magic they knew made them ashamed and sad of what they'd allowed to wither in themselves. If I said that right, if I read that properly, you're told to grow up, for God's sake, by the people themselves that are so ashamed of having that being taken from them in the first place. You know? Isn't it funny? I've said that before. I think it was the last show that I said it too. The acceptance of one's faith, of others' faith, is essentially a denial of our own, right? No, we can't have that. See? So they do all that work on us, and they did all that work on the Native Americans to cut them down to size, to have them as menials, to show them their place in society. It's exactly the same as Tom, Dick, and Harry outside. Exactly the same thing. Get a job, get a family, pay your taxes. And now they have us in one spot with AI, because now we're going to have 15-minute cities, and now they're going to have a one currency, and then they're going to have one internet, and then they're going to, you know what I mean? So everybody's going to be able to be controlled by one central place. This is what's coming. Something as simple as clapping, something else I didn't know. Steve, I didn't know this. You could probably tell me if you did before. Apparently, when you clap your hands, it has miraculous benefits. I'm not talking clapping your hands at
probably
a
concert. So. Huh? Probably so.
It says, when you clap your hands, you create a burst of vibrational energy from the impact and the sound, which can cleanse negative energy. If you've seen Clear Cut, the movie, or if you've seen any Indians in prayer, you see them clap their hands and then raise their hands up, raise their arms up. There's a secondary, there are also secondary chakras, which are energy points in your palms, which get activated when clapping together. Do this and then raise them to the sky, both of them, acting as a light beacon of energy, signaling the divine realms. This is a hidden ancient spiritual practice. And you know that they use that in the movie Clear Cut? You know, it is what it is, or as a Christian would say, amen, or I have spoken, and he claps his hands and he puts his arms up. You know, we're told all these things. We're shown all this magic, and we don't know what we're dealing with. You know, words are spells. Be careful how you use them, right? Fascinating stuff. And it's like, you know, everything that I see could be an hour show. It's unbelievable. Okay, so I said I wanted to share this about women. So here in another way, I can tie into the sacred yet again by first showing what I learned about the back of the turtle, which I already did, the 28 scales and the 13 inner ones. The womb has 13 menstruations a year. The womb ovulates on the 13th day, so life is created within the 13th portal. This is what I started reading, and I just kept reading, and oh, okay, I'm going to share this. You know, we might not resonate with it, but it's something that's written, and it kind of told me it was important enough to share. For thousands of years in many cultures, priestesses of the sacred rose have sat in circles of 12, with the 13th being the teacher guide. The womb is the sacred rose. Every woman holds the sacred rose. Right. So in 1487, here comes Heinrich Kramer, who labeled this divine feminine energy as witchcraft, as hearsay, and as evil. You can look up the book yourself. I almost bought it myself, but I mean, I know it's in existence because I've seen it in Amazon. Malleus Maleficarum. It's called, or the witch's hammer, currently called the hammer of witches. 13, power number of creation of life itself, is a number of the womb. It became a sign of the evil and an unlucky number. See? Okay. That makes sense to me. They're lying about everything else. Hatred for feminine power took to extreme lengths as to very many women were murdered, tortured, and burned at the stake, as we know. This infamous Malleus Maleficarum, this is from Allison Williams' writing WordPress. Allison says, this is the 15th century treatise that is basically a handbook on the way to identify, interrogate, and prosecute those suspected of witchcraft. See, so you were a woman doing good for your people. You knew how to get the medicines from the forest. You knew how to separate everything. You knew what it took because you cared. You were an empath. You were a healer. I'm not going to use the word shaman, okay, because that's prostituted. And you're labeled a witch. So, you know, it's interesting. And it was also a way for them to get rid of a lot of women because the church had women as far as, you know, they're one of the greatest enemies for a long time. Pay attention to the attitude towards and the treatment of women in general. In 1486, it was written I guess it had three main purposes, according to this person that wrote. To refute allegations that witchcraft did not exist, to set out forms of witchcraft and ways in which witchcraft can be identified and resolved, and to aid and assist magistrates in the prosecution of those accused. So they went through a lengthy process just to do that. And there was a reason why they went again. You know, they say in the book, according to Kramer, the guy who wrote the book, they go after women because women can submit a lot easier to temptation than men can, and their inherent weakness as a sex. Okay, yeah, right. According to man, it's always been that way, right? That idiot from that politician from the Carolinas. What did he say that day? Women are a lesser cut of meat because she comes from man's rib. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, so guess what? If you can wrap your head around that, listen to this. Did you know that the word pharmacy comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which translates into witchcraft or sorceries? Okay, so that means that the same people that were burning the women at the stake turn around and do the same thing to make money, to profit personally. Yes, Steve?
You know that the word medicine comes from an ancient word called, well, the people that practiced medicine, they were called Medites.
Yeah. Yeah. And I even have this picture right here to show Steve now that we're on that trail. Caduceus, is that pronounced properly? Caduceus, I believe. It's a symbol for medicine with the two snakes and the rod with the wings. That's funny. That's on Baphomet's stomach. If you look at Baphomet,
yes,
and,
it is.
You know, the goat head and the two breasts and the legs with the, you know, the animal legs, the animal feet. One arm up, one arm down with the star on his forehead and a goat head. That's the okay. So you know what we can actually say. So they end up doing this to women. Okay, then they take it upon themselves. The same entity using that. So according to this writing, it says that women can now reverse this. We reclaim our sacred power. See, you have to do that. You have to know about these things in order to pray for them. We are not men. We are women. We are wombs. We bleed in cycles. We need to honor and celebrate this. You know, we don't plug up and numb out with why rest when you can carry on slogans. You know, we do rest. We do listen. We do honor what womb wants. We awaken. Together, we reclaim the 13, it says. And it goes on. I don't have to read it all. But I found it really beautiful because it's honoring women, first of all. And, you're shown what modern medicine is and what Rockefeller is responsible for. I'm really, really hoping to go down that rabbit hole someday because that's scary stuff. And then... like during the same week, here we go. Mammography. Okay, this might offend or upset some women, but my mother passed away from cancer, and she told me she can relay it directly to that when she was alive. I'm hearing so many people talk about it that I said, you know what? I'm going to say this. At least I said it. And people can take it, you know, whatever they want to think about it. But this is how I see it. So the criminal mafia, the criminal medical mafia is aggressively forcing regular annual mammography examinations for healthy women in order to make them profitable patients. Women who go through mammograms. Luca, have you ever gone through one? No. Well, then shut up. I don't think so. I don't think so. Women who go through mammograms are probably unaware of the harm that they do to themselves. Otherwise, I don't think they would be doing it. A couple of things to consider. 50 to 60% of the positive results are incorrect. So being diagnosed with breast cancer in 50 to 60% of cases turns out it didn't exist at all. During examination, the breast is pressed with a large weight of 10 kilopascals, which is 1,019 kilograms per meter square. And then healthy, very sensitive milk gland tissue is bombarded by radioactive waves. Rays. R-A-Y-S. It stimulates tumor growth and the spread of metastases. A study done on 690,000 records show that completely healthy women have developed breast cancer in large number of cases after mammographic examinations. Gulp. Switzerland is actually the first country in the world to ban mammographic examinations. I didn't know that. So, you know, like I said, even my late mother, when she was dealing with that. And, you know, yes, well, we're not forced, okay, but the women are told to do that, and it becomes a regular thing like going to school. You know, so research yourself and think well before you do stuff like that. And I'm glad you did, Annie, because, you know, everything you look at is, you know, in the medical industry, I can't get over it. I'm sitting there looking at it. And now that I've been through what I've been through with 2 stage 4 cancers, and I saw what they were trying to do, all I had to go was, okay, I'll get vaccinated. Oh, okay. I'll go on heavy duty barbiturates. Thank you very much. Oh, pain or no pain. Doesn't matter. Here you go. This is what you get. Chemo, radiation. They laughed at me. And most people that follow my show know this because they laughed at me when I got into the hospital for the main operation. He said, oh, Luca, you were in such bad shape, it would have killed you anyway. And that was supposed to be a joke. But I remembered, okay? I remember things like that. So, and no, I wasn't high on you know what, okay? They can't hide this stuff from us. It's too big. It's really too big. So what I need to do before we finish the show is kind of lighten up a little. And I want to share some memes because it's coming up to Christmas. And we talked about sugar. and Steve jumped in on that one because, you know, that's something that we both know. Listen to this one. Towards the end of the year in the U.S., we partake in a candy holiday, followed by a pie holiday, then a cookies and candy holiday, ending the year with a booze holiday. The so-called experts call it the flu season, but it should be really called the sugar poisoning season. Oh, I love candy. I'm sorry. wow. You know, but to have this in your face, it really makes you think. Because that's what they're doing. That's how it was engineered. We're not going to fight Christmas. We're not going to fight, what, Thanksgiving, you know? It's really well done. See, so think of all that sugar and then booze after that, because booze was done on purpose, right? Oh, I'm glad I got some action in the chat. It's with Steve too. Okay. So that's something to think about. Oh boy, oh boy. This stuff, I could go at this all day. The Venus Project's Jacques Fresco, he says, if you don't think we can change the world, then it just means you're not one of those that will. That's okay. And that's a really good response, because it's going to be those people that want to change the world that will. I don't care if you beat me, insult me, lock me up, or kill me for speaking the truth. If I continue to exist with this current paradigm, knowing what I know and refusing to speak out, I'm already a dead prisoner anyway. It's true. What is civil disobedience? Civil disobedience is when people don't necessarily follow the laws of a government because they don't believe that the law is moral. They're doing what's right by not following a certain law. And that's what everybody should be doing. We are here to awaken from our illusion of separateness. just like the two tree stumps that are shaking hands with their roots underground, we have to shake hands ourselves and become one again, because they're trying to divide and conquer in every single way possible. I think we've seen that enough recently. That's all it is. It's divide and conquer all the time. One girl comes up and she's crying because she's so hungry. She's crying. And he asks this girl, are you Hindu? Are you Christian? Or are you Muslim? And she answered, I'm hungry. See? We need to return to medicine. We need to return to spirit. We need to return to healing. And for the indigenous people of this land, it was the glowing stones that danced with fire, a mysterious dancing of shadow and faded light. Come here, humble. Come here, open, and come here without ego. And it's showing the entrance of a sweat lodge. This is what I did for years. And this is how I found where what resonates with me, where I belong. You know, the first time I was in a sweat lodge and the door closed and it was pitch black, I heard, welcome home, Luca. What took you so long? That was my instinct saying that to myself, inside myself, as soon as the door fell. Welcome home, Luca. You know, because that's where, you know, the Christian will feel that at Mass. The Muslim will feel that, you know, wherever he feels it. You know what I mean? Everything is set for everybody. There's a place in the world for everybody. What does that sound like? You know, and this is what it works for me. Okay. The Indian is sitting there with a non-native, the non-native with glasses right out of high school or right out of university. He's going to talk to the elder and he sits down in front of the fire with the elder and he says, what's the problem with the world? And the elder looks at him and he says, you have severed your connection with spirit. You know, you could say you have severed your connection with God. Yeah, you could. See? Because everybody's there with the iPhone thinking, oh, I'm on top of the world. I know what I'm doing. I don't need anybody, you know. Uh-huh. You know, it's very true. See? And John Trudell comes out with one of those memes that I've never seen before, and I'm so glad to be able to share it with you for the first time. John Trudell says, I know what they fear now. They don't want us thinking. There you go. They don't want us thinking. They don't, because when you think, you become dangerous. Remember, you can't farm lions. You can only farm sheep, right? The word samurai, I got to say this again. I know Annie doesn't agree with Tom Cruise, but I have to say it again because I just came across it again. There's a boy on his knees in front of who looks like his father. They're both holding hands, and he's a samurai. And the child looks at him, and he says, Papa, what does samurai mean, the word? And his father says, the samurai means to serve. It means to serve. Yeah, the emperor, yeah. To serve creation, to serve righteousness, to serve justice, to serve compassion. And you become so solid inside yourself. You don't need anybody else, you know? Like for a long time growing up, I'm 65 years old. For a long time growing up, I was always needing people around me. I was always trying to make everybody happy. I was always trying to do everything I could to make everybody happy. And you fall on your face every time. You keep doing it until you listen to God or Creator God. You keep doing the same mistake over and over again until you're sick of falling. It's like the woman who's sick of being hit by her man. Whoa, enough. And that's when things start to happen. Okay? When you start, I'm going to say this again. When you start living differently from the masses, it makes everyone uncomfortable. The fact that you no longer play the game of fear and drama. Remember, I've said that before. This is what happens, and this is what's happening to me now. And the more you go on that down that rabbit hole, the stronger you feel. It's really amazing, and I can attest to it 100%. You know what? I'm going to make everybody privy to the Hopi teachings, because I just found them and I said to myself, I knew who's going to like this and I have to share this because there are 9 signs. And these are very important signs. This is what the Hopi have been saying for thousands of years. Yes, thousands. Some say 26,000. Some say we're in the cycle of the 6,000th year that they've been saying this. They haven't been wrong yet. The Hopi teachings, he begins. We are told that towards the end of the world, Spider Woman will come back and she will weave her web across the landscape. Everywhere you will see her web. That's how we know that we are coming to the end of this world, when you see her web everywhere. I believe I have just seen her web. What do they mean by web? It's up to everybody individually to believe what, just like with the Bible. It's up to you. You ask one question to 10 people. After 10 people read the same passage in the Bible, you'll have a different answer from everyone. This is something from the Hopi that are for everybody, and everybody's going to take it in a different way. To some people, it's satellites. To some people, the spider web is telephone lines. It depends who you are. The first sign said the white-skinned men would come. The second said our lands will see this coming of the coming of spinning wheels filled with voices. In his youth, my father saw the prophecy come true with his eyes, the white men bringing their families in wagons across the prairies. This is the third sign. A strange beast like the buffalo, but with great long horns, will overrun the land in large numbers. These white feathers saw with his own eyes the coming of the white man's cattle. The fourth sign, the land will be crisscrossed by snakes of iron. The fifth sign, the land shall be crisscrossed with giant spider webs. The sixth sign, the land shall be crisscrossed with rivers of stone that make pictures in the sun. The seventh sign, you will hear the sea, of the sea turning black, and many living things dying because of it. There was a prophecy of the black snake, also, which was the pipeline. The eighth sign, you'll see many youth who wear their long hair like my people come and join the tribal nations to learn their ways and wisdom. And the ninth sign and last sign, you will hear of a dwelling place in the heavens above the earth that shall fall with a great crash, and it will appear as a blue star. Very soon after this, the ceremonies of my people will cease. See what I mean? So it's all for everybody to learn. It's for everybody to hear. It's for everybody to investigate or not. It's up to each one of us. You know, in every single reading that I hold in my hands or that I see or that I fall on every day, it seems like they're saying that, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, in the last few minutes, I have to say this, that everybody's going to see the end times, whatever you want to call it, whatever happens, they're going to see it with eyes that they can only understand themselves, like within your own frame of your own mind, of your own intelligence, of your own culture, of your own, you know, your own perception. That's the word I'm looking for. Everybody's going to have their own perception. Somebody sees, you know, a picture of Jesus in the sky, and that's it for them. You know, that's what they see. That's what they believe. Somebody else sees something else. See, so the more educated, the more we research what today's life is based on, which are lies, which are genocide, which are, you know, the killing of humanity, we start to get the idea, right? And I have 30 seconds left. Oh, boy. My song is ready, okay? I hope you guys did like the show. And I'm going to leave it with a joke. I have to say this. One person's looking at another, and he says, capitalism and greed is human nature. Huh, says the other one. If you see a bear riding a bike in a circus, are we to assume that riding bikes is a bear's nature? Huh? Think about it. Yeah. Well, anyway, Steve is always quiet at this time. But anyway, that's okay. Thank you, Steve, for being there. Thank you for reminding me about the timer. Thank you, Annie, for being there. And everyone else in the chat, I can't say I love you enough. Yes, hello, Moon, as well. Boston Mark, I see that Anon changing all the time, but that's Sarah, I know. And I guess everything's very quiet, but that's okay. I'm glad everybody was there and everybody got a chance to write and everybody was listening. Thank you, Boston Mark, as well, if I didn't say that already. And we'll see you all next week. Thanks for being there, and be safe, everyone.